Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 132 for Monday, July 6th, 2020.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. Also, science has determined that drinking on a regular basis is a good thing.
And crazy news, we'll talk about no shirt, no shoes, no pants required, a utility belt.
Untitled.
Well, I thought the one before that was untitled, but so I changed it, but now this one.
What you're doing?
Some Busch beer, a sexy criminal, and some safe rioters.
Oh, man, half the year's over. So it's only 6 months till it's next year, and this dumpster fire that we're calling 2020 will be behind us, and hopefully 2021 will be better. I
hope so.
I can't wait.
I'd like to see it. I mean, it can't get any worse. Well, no. I guess it could, and I don't want to attempt it. But yeah, definitely we've got that time hopefully behind us, and we've missed a month. So we've been here. There's been nothing that's catastrophic, thankfully, that we've just had stuff to deal with, and as luck would have it, we have to make sacrifices sometimes. And honestly, it's the show. As much as we don't like to miss any episodes, sometimes we do. So thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah, life happens. Yeah. And I see you're all decked out in Nats gear. So are you excited about the upcoming 60-game season?
I listened to something on Sirius the other day, and they were talking about that the season is way too long, that 160 games just has to be shortened. And they were talking about, like, what would it be like if they shortened it to 100 or 120? Just cut it down to like two-thirds of what it is. Would people be more engaged? And this will be kind of a test to see if a shorter season really does it. Do we really need 162 games?
Well, you think about it, too. On top of that is just, something I've thought about is, one of the things you're always worried about is injuries in any sport, right? And in baseball in particular is very taxing because it's not like, football. Now, granted, a football game, they beat the shit out of each other, right? But at the same time, you got to think like 162 games, like that's a lot.
Every day, almost.
That's a lot of baseball, and it's a lot to put on somebody. And so you think even if they shorten the game, shorten it down to 120 games, 100 games, A, would it be more engaging? But B, would it result in less injury too? Because you're giving the players more rest in between games and things like that. There's more break. And it's you got to think about it that way. Like one thing that I'm excited about is like everybody's healthy right now. Like nobody's gotten the shit kicked out of them so far. So like even Michael Fulmer, who hasn't played a game since September of 2018, like he's raring to go, and he's like, he's possibly like a future ace pitcher. He had a really good rookie season, not an awesome second season, but still was, just all the makings of a star pitcher. And so like I'm excited to see him and see like what over this like shortened season they can do. But sports is just really weird right now in general. I saw a picture earlier, so I went to Florida for a work trip earlier in the year, and we stayed at a resort in Disney World, and one of my buddies from work sent a picture of NBA basketball court, literally two NBA basketball courts set up side by side in the room that we had like our big like awards night at, because that's what they're doing, is they're finishing the NBA season inside of big like big conference rooms in Disney. It's really weird, and it's just very awkward, but it works, and they're gonna do what they got to do to finish the season. But I'm like, man, I like ate and drank and cut a rug in the room where the Pacers are going to be playing basketball. So it's very, it's just very weird. So, again, I'm excited that Major League Baseball is going to get a season, even if it's without fans. And even if it's, it'll just be nice to just, put the TV on. And not to mention the Tigers. Now, I think the first half of the season, the first 30 games, we'll call it, might be a little bit rough. because, you know, we just, because we have
like, spring training shortened.
Yeah, spring training was shortened, but also we have some really, really good young players that are starting in our farm system for the first half of the season that I'm sure are super eager to come up and play the second half of the season for the Tigers. And so I'm excited to see kind of like how some of our young players are going to do that'll probably make an appearance a little bit later on in this shortened season as well. Yeah. And you know, so I'm excited to see how my team does this year.
Yeah. Hopefully. Same of us would be after the World Series victory and been able to carry that banner a little bit longer, but it'll be sad if they raise the banners when there's nobody there. And I saw some team I was going to do where they would put pictures of the they would put, because people aren't there to catch the balls, they were going to put the pictures of the season ticket holders in their seats. Oh. So if the ball hits it, then they mail the ball to you.
I wonder if
kind of a cool idea, but I don't know how they're going to do it.
You think any teams are going to use sex dials?
I hope so.
We can only hope so.
And then can you are they going to auction them off after the season's over?
Yeah.
And if they sit out in the sun and the rain, though, it might,
might soften them up a little bit.
Wow.
Would you rather bang a sex doll that's been sitting out in the sun and the rain, or an Olaf or a pile of leaves?
I don't know. I'm going to need a three-sided coin for that one. Probably not the Olaf. I think that, I don't know, really like that material, especially if it's been at Walmart, because it probably has bugs.
That's true.
I feel like the leaves and the sex doll has been sitting out for 6 months.
I don't know why you're sticking to these leaves. That sounds very uncomfortable. I mean, not that banging an Olaf, but I mean, it sounts very uncomfortable.
Leaves, yeah, they're probably scratchy, but it said they were going to be wet leaves. So I take that as a good sign, I guess.
Spray some Pam or something on it.
Pam? Pam from The Office.
Speaking of which, on my way home from work, I was listening to The Office Ladies. Have you listened to it at all?
No, you told me about it.
Good podcast. So like they had
episode,
I was a
right?
little yeah I was a little bit behind, so they're on season three right now. And so last week's episode was it was the initiation where Dwight says he's taking Ryan out on a sales call, and he takes him to Shroot Farms instead of and initiates him. So they actually had BJ Novak and Rainn Wilson who play Ryan and Dwight on the show. So they, you know, kind of getting their take on how it all played out and stuff like that. And then this last week it was the Diwali episode, and they had what's her face? The one that plays
Is it Jan Levinson Gould?
No, it's why can't I think? I'm gonna feel really Mindy Kaling. Mindy Kaling.
Oh yeah.
So they have Mindy Kaling on there to talk about the Diwali episode and stuff like that. Honestly, if you're a fan of The Office, not to promote another podcast, you should listen to ours first, obviously.
Right.
But if you're a fan of The Office, it's a great podcast. There's a deep dive into it. They have the writers. They have the other actors that are on there. They have all these people that are guest stars on there that really dive into each episode. It's just very cool. It really gives you The Office is one of my favorite shows. It's top two of my favorite shows ever. So it's really cool. It even makes me like it even more, just to kind of see like how it all plays out
behind the scenes,
stuff like that. But anyway, I think we should.
I saw a thing the other day that said that Dwight's pranks were not as good. Jim's pranks were not as good. They weren't as funny, but it was Dwight's reactions to them that made them funny.
Oh, sure. I mean, honestly, the writing of the show was genius. They really let the actors, I mean, you know, you never have, there's no other shows that have like writers like Mindy Kaling, BJ Novak. They were series regulars, but they were writers of the show. And so you never have like, there's no other shows where you have the writers involved in the acting of the show and where they were allowed to do so much improv. So they talked about they talk about all these like genius moments of the show, and they're like, yeah, that wasn't on the in the script. They just improv that stuff.
Just happened.
Like, wow, that's crazy. And so, you know, it's again, it's just a really, really cool show and our podcast, and it's worth listening to. And not that they need us to promote them, because I'm pretty sure they're like. Honestly, I think I read, so they're like one of the most popular podcasts in the world of podcasts right now. So, you know, if we could get them to promo us, though, that would be great.
Yeah, that's right. If we ever take another month off, you're welcome to listen to that show.
Yeah. Listen to us, get all caught up, and then listen to them when you are. So,
now, did they drink any beer?
Did I drink any beer?
No, did they drink any beer on the episodes?
They don't know. They don't drink beer on the episodes.
Oh, well, we do.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
We wouldn't have a show without beer.
I see Finnegan back there. He's a good boy.
Yeah, Kelly has the boys at my at her brother's house. And so it's just me here alone at the house. And Finnegan and I
no pants. Hanging out.
I'm wearing shorts. Finnegan's not wearing pants, though.
So he's not a good boy.
Well, you know, depends on how you define that, I suppose. I know. So this week I'm going to a new brewer. Yeah, this month's episode, I'm going to a new brewery who we have not had on the show before.
I see that.
Good friend of the show.
they are now.
Our new BFFs at Pigeon Hill Brewing Company. They're based out of Muskegon. Michigan. You ever been to Muskegon?
Oh, no. My first dog that I got on my own, once I moved out after college, actually came from Muskegon.
Oh, wow.
It was a rescue dog. I had somebody that I knew up there that I met, and she said, "Oh, I'm my kids are coming down. We're coming down." I lived in Baltimore at the time, so we're coming down, and we have a puppy here, and it was the type of dog that I wanted. She said, "I'll bring it to you." I was like, "Well, shit, bring it."
Hell yeah.
So that's the only tie to Muskegon that I have outside of this beer now.
Gotcha. They're known for their dogs. They're also known for a brewery called Pigeon Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And what I have this week is their Salted Caramel Porter, or SCP for short. It's a Salted Caramel Porter. What starts as a traditional porter takes a turn once caramel and salt are added to this brew. The use of chocolate malt even gives it flavors of chocolate that reminds you of a piece of candy. It's 6% alcohol by volume, 20 IBUs, and it's available in their tap room as well as distribution, which is where I got it. This is another one that I got on Frankenmuth back when we could go places. And I drank a little bit. I did pre-drink just give everybody a heads up, but this is, and I haven't had dinner yet, so this will be a fun episode. And I'm going to take another sip of this and give you my appraisal of this particular brew.
Can't wait.
I know you can. It's good. It's good. Some notes of caramel. I can smell the caramel aroma coming from the beer. Not tasting a ton of chocolate, maybe a hint of chocolate. I do wish there was a little bit more chocolate so I could feel like I was just like munching on a you get the big gift boxes of chocolates, and I always go directly for the caramel ones.
Yes.
And so I wish I could taste more chocolate so it was more reminiscent of that, but it's a nice sweet brew. It has a nice you definitely get that hit of caramel, and it's pretty good. I rated it like, I forgot what the fuck I rated it on Untappd. I don't know, four and a quarter. It's a good beer. I really do like it.
Good.
And if you happen to be in an area where you can get the Pigeon Hill Salted Caramel Porter, you should get one. I do wish it was more salty, though. I could use a little bit more salt. If you're going to call it tastes more like a caramel porter than a salted caramel porter. And if there were more salt and a little bit of chocolate, it'd be a 5 all day long. Alas, it does not have those elements, though, which brought it down 3/4 of 1 point to a 4.25. Salted, caramel porter from our new best friends forever at Pigeon Hill Brewing in Muskegon, known for its rescue dogs.
And she was a good girl.
And it's brewery called Pigeon Hill. And there's literally nothing else in Muskegon. I don't think so. I think that's all you're going to get there.
Now, that's not in the UP, is it?
It's in like Western Michigan. Southwestern Michigan, I guess you could call it.
I saw something online the other day. They were talking about, it was in some Facebook group, but they said something about going to the UP of Michigan. It says, yeah, it's really hard to get to.
It's really far up there.
All like the things that you've told me about that, it's like, yeah, it's really hard to get to. However they were getting there, it's like, yeah, it's just,
yeah,
it's
you, just you not shouldn't fun. You just shouldn't go there. There's I don't know, it's not like there's some nice waterfalls, I guess, a lot of nature. Yeah. There's a lot of nature, a lot of Native Americans.
And
I don't know, it really is like another country. They should secede from the Union and just go ahead and start their
they're own close
country.
Enough to Canada in the way it's wrapped up
they're
up there.
They're basically Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that, I mean, I can get to Canada in less than an hour from where I am. I mean, just it's not that hard. Within an hour, I can get to Detroit through the border. Like, I can get through customs. Not now, because they're not letting us in because of COVID. Right.
They don't want
you. Normally, you know, I could be in Canada in less than an hour. Very exciting.
So what I've got this week, and it's another brand new brewery to the show, which I've been excited about this one since I picked it up, because one, the grocery store really didn't have anything else that I thought looked cool, and that I had before was pretty much all their selection was stuff that I've enjoyed. But this here is from our new friend Sycamore Brewing Company.
Oh,
and it's the Sycamore Tree from
Muskegon.
No,
sorry.
This is Charlotte, North Carolina.
This is gonna be one of those episodes where I just keep stepping on all of your words.
Hey, I've been doing the same thing.
I'm gonna interrupt the delay. You this entire episode.
It's the delay. Yay. But you know, usually this is a blonde ale, which
I like blondes.
It's not really I'm aware of that. But the Beach Shack Blonde, I thought, okay, well, it's a blonde ale, so it's not really anything special to it. But it says it's Beach Shack Blonde Ale with coffee and vanilla.
Okay.
So that threw me off. Like, a blonde ale is typically something that's, it's a nice beer. It's a, like you said, it's a good type of flavor to it. But I was really intrigued by the fact that it had coffee and vanilla in it.
That is interesting, Robert.
It is interesting. Unfortunately, the website doesn't really have anything about it. It's not even located on there. So I don't know if it's a seasonal or not, or whether it's just terrible and they took it off. But I did find it on Untappd, of course, and Untappd tells us that it's crafted with a variety of the finest hand-selected coffee micro lots, whatever that is, and vanilla beans chosen by our very own coffee roasters, Beach Shack. So Beach Shack must be a coffee roaster that's there in the North Carolina or Charlotte area, probably. And they've used their coffee as part of this here. So I'm going to give it a sniff and a taste and tell you what I think.
That's what she said.
Not that anybody cares, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It does smell sweet, and it doesn't. It's hard to pick out exactly if that's vanilla or not. It doesn't have the typical vanilla, but maybe as a mixture with all the other things going on there. It smells good, and let's see how the taste is. I like it. It's got the coffee in there that's not overpowering. So if you're not a coffee drinker, it's not going to be something that bothers you like some of the heavier coffee flavors. It does have enough vanilla in there that I think that adds that sweetness to it. And then it's got the ale. It's not overly hoppy, so it doesn't have a lot of the bitterness to it. It's got just enough of each. If I had the typical blonde ale plus the coffee and the vanilla, it's probably a good third of each in there, just the right amounts.
Nice.
I rated it 3 3/4. I do like it a lot. 4, again, is kind of that really special beer, and it's close. If I could give it somewhere in between, I would. I like it. I'm going to go try to see if I can find any more over there. I did come in a 4-pack, And again, it's the Sycamore Brewing Company, Beach Shack Blonde, available in or from Charlotte, North Carolina. But check out on Untappd and see if you can get it where you are.
Nice. An ale with flavor to it.
And it, yeah, the coffee, I was a blonde usually ale. I kind of reserve those for some of the darker beers.
Yeah.
But I like their use in here, and I think the vanilla probably adds another little a nice touch to it. So I like it a lot. Again, 4.75 would go higher, but 4 is one of those that really, really stands out. And this one's close to that. It just, for some reason, doesn't have enough where I'm like, yeah, this is really good. But it's real close. Depending on the time of day, I might change my mind.
Take some balls to put flavor into a blonde ale, too.
I know. That's crazy.
Ballsy move.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah.
So one of the things that's been happening with me, and I don't know if it's, well, I do know if it's because of the coronavirus and all that stuff with it. We've had so much going on in our minds. We're stuck in our homes. So you've been starting to go venturing out more to go to the office. But
yeah.
I've noticed that there's been a lot of times that I've been forgetful. And I thought, and I joke with colleagues at work that even, you took the routine out of going to the office for 5 days and then home for 2 days. And you kind of had that routine to tell you what day it was, right? So I would typically work from home on Tuesdays and Fridays. So I know if I was at home after a day that, it was Tuesday. And then the next day I went to the office Wednesday. And it all got mixed up since March when I've been home every day since. So a lot of us has kind of gotten to that habit of reminding ourselves each morning what day it is. And we remind each other in our little chat, like, here's a GIF of Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever, just to keep track of it. But according to CNN, moderate drinking may improve cognitive health for older adults. And I think at my age, I got a couple years, and my son asked me how old I was today. And I had to tell him, and I had to count it out. But I think I fall into that older adults category, and you might at some point, I think.
Well, I mean, I feel old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
going
back to what you were saying, because, you wouldn't let me get a word in.
I was rambling there.
It's when I was off work. Now, granted, I'm back at work now, so I pretty much know what day of the week it is. But like, there was a period of months where I'm like, it didn't matter if it was, because I wasn't working at all, really. I mean, it was like, it didn't matter if it was Saturday or Tuesday or anything like that. Like, there were many times, there was one time I was like, what month is it? Like, you completely lose track of time. And it's very weird. So now I'm glad, if anything, I'm back at the office so I could just fucking, like, know what's happening in the world. Like, I feel like I'm more connected with things now. But
Well, there was one time we were going to record, and I said, hey, you ready to record tonight? You're like, oh shit, it is Friday. But that was like right in the middle of the time you had been out, so you really had nothing to gauge as far. And my mother-in-law is the same way. She's retired, right? So she's like, well, what day is today? You don't really need to know that. Every day is Saturday when you're retired. Or if you're going to be off for 2 months, every day is Saturday in a way. Just,
you're telling me.
It's hard to keep track. But I guess, according to this, that we should be drinking, because that's going to help us with our cognitive health and help us keep track of all this shit that's going on these days, or this year.
Yeah, and I'm glad I'm reading this, because it helps to it adds science to what I've felt this entire time, that we should be drinking more. And actually, there was a period of time when I wasn't drinking like at all, because I was worried, because I read an article that said if you're drinking and you get you could get COVID, and then you'd be, I don't know, I forget, but anyway, if you drink and you get COVID, I don't even remember what the situation was.
Probably because it probably suppresses your immune system a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, so that maybe, maybe if you had just enough of the antibodies in there to fight it off, or to keep it from, maybe not fight it off, but to keep it from becoming anything, that alcohol would suppress it enough. So maybe there's some truth to that. You're probably were believing that because you weren't drinking and your cognitive decline was what you were experiencing.
Probably. And I was mind fucked for a little bit, but I'm not anymore. And so I'm catching up now.
I can see clearly now. The rain is gone.
Exactly.
like that.
I can see all the obstacles in my way. So,
including me.
And it was back to science, and this is from CNN. And so, yeah, unless,
real.
Unless you're Donald Trump, it's, you know, this is real news here.
What does it tell us?
Yeah, it says if you enjoy a daily cocktail, some wine with dinner, you'll want to raise your glass to this. A new study found low to moderate drinking, which, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I guess we fall in low to moderate, may improve cognitive function. Oh, middle-aged. Or why is it just white middle-aged or older adults?
No, that's racist, Rob.
Oh, man, these people are.
I'm glad you read that, not
I'm
me.
Just reading. This is just, you know. So anyway, it's to quantify this, low to moderate drinking was defined as less than 8 drinks per week for women, and as guys, we could be
alcoholics.
This is a racist and sexist article.
Well, they're
for
built
guys,
differently,
though,
Rob.
We get 15 drinks.
They can't throw per a baseball. Week.
This is great. So we get 2.5 drinks a night. Yeah. Or a day, you know, depending on, you know, when you have the opportunity to drink.
Right.
So we get 2.5 drinks, you know, a day, basically. And the findings support prior research, which found that generally one standard drink a day for women, 2 a day for men, which is the U.S. guidance, appears to offer some cognitive benefits.
Huh.
That's great news. Great news.
Yeah. It says there's a lot of observational evidence showing that light to moderate alcohol drinking is associated with better cognitive function and a lower risk of dementia compared with alcohol abstaining. That's pretty good.
Fantastic. I'm excited.
Yeah. Although they always got to ruin it too. It says, however, a major global study released last year found that no amount of liquor, wine, or beer is safe for your overall health. So
that's probably maybe, Fox.
Yeah, it found that alcohol was the leading risk for disease and dementia, probably. And premature death in men and women between the ages of 15 and 49 worldwide. Although it said older or middle-aged and older, and this here says that it's 15 to 49, and that's not middle-aged or older, really, until you get to that. Well, I guess some of it is. I don't know, Rob. I haven't drank enough to be able to keep track of all this shit.
Look what I have, though.
Ooh, Masagave from Founders.
This is the 2020 edition, which I'm very excited about.
Really? What's different about it? It's just when they brewed it, I guess?
That's what it tells you. It tells you when it was brewed. And I drank one the other day, and I'm like, this tastes the same as it did last year. And this year, the alcohol by volume, because that fluctuates a little bit year to year. Well, it's 10%. Right. This year it's 10%.
Huh. I thought I saw a thing, and I don't see it on Founders' website, but they had a special beer that they released, basically, you know, going with all the other shit that's going on in the world. They had a special collaboration. It's not on their website, unfortunately, but anyhow.
Stop, collaborate, and listen. Hey, I got to pee.
Oh, no.
I'll be right back. Luckily, I've set myself up in the library again because
I didn't want to ask.
Well, where I was recording from before is actually designated as a guest bedroom now. So there's a bed and there's no room for me and my stuff. And then, so I it's either this or in the basement. The basement averages about 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah. And also, I just didn't feel like going and setting up a table and stuff, so I set up in here. Kelly will be super excited. I'll be right back.
She'll be fine.
Yeah, she'll get over it. She always does. She always does.
What did you do?
I hit myself in the face with the headphones. I was pulling in the nose specifically.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's fine. It's great.
I cut the shit out of the top of my head. So our refrigerator, the ice maker is broken. Mm. So it's in the ceiling part of the refrigerator. And then the freezer is in the bottom, but the ice maker is up in the top. And it empties down into the door.
Yeah.
And it was leaking out of the ice maker itself, so that whatever, there's some heater. And I don't know. He explained it, but I don't know. I don't care. just fix it. It was draining, and then I went to open it, and water was everywhere.
Oh no!
So I was mad because I just wanted to drink coffee. It was first thing in the morning, so I opened the door, took the bucket out where the ice is, and I left the door open to the refrigerator door, and then there's a separate door that's where the bucket is. I left that door open too, and I was wiping the floor with the water, and I stood up, hit the top of that thing, and blood pouring out everywhere.
Oh boy.
It's Monday, I think, like, I gotta go to work, you know, I not go to work, but I have to work, and I have to take Ben to the camp, and I gotta do all this shit. I don't have time to go get stitches on my head, so I kept a paper towel on my head for 15 minutes trying to get it. There's still, and that's been since
really,
Monday.
You're so really
shanked. I don't know what day today is because I haven't had enough to drink, but
it's Friday.
So it still hurts, so I haven't been able to cut my hair. I can't put my hat on right because I got headphones. So I'm broken, Rob. I need to drink more. Otherwise, I'll just completely lose it.
Yeah, you got a lot going on over there.
I do. So we'll get a new ice maker, $350, and it'll be here sometime next week.
Oh, thank goodness.
So we've been without ice for a week, and now we got another week while we wait for the part to come in, and then I got to come back and fix it. So, I've been buying. That's genius. I shouldn't be buying bags of ice for $2. I got no room to put the trays, though. That's the problem. Yeah. And it's down. I got to bend down and get it. And that's where all the pizza is. So I can't really put trays in there.
Yeah, that's
then I
true.
Have no place
we
to put
really
the pizza.
Wouldn't have any place to put it either, because our refrigerator, for, you know, the new one at the new house, same thing. The refrigerator is at the bottom. Yeah. And then it has the French doors on the top.
Yeah.
Our ice maker is inside of one of the doors, though.
That's how it's how it is. It's in the top and it drops into the door.
No, the ice maker is actually in the door.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why? I don't know. Ask GE. Yeah, that's how they fucking do it. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I'm always expecting it's going to leak because it's not in the freezer.
Yeah.
It's in the refrigerator, but it has that vent and it pumps all the cold air in there from the bottom. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit. You should
I'm not getting this thing again. I know. I hate it because it never fits anything, right? So anyhow, you ready for crazy news?
Yes, I am.
Let's get this on. I've been on point with the drops today, you have to admit.
You've,
despite a month off,
I mean,
hit the right buttons.
I've been thoroughly impressed. Great job. Okay. Great job. Hold on. Let me drink my Masagave. Which is a beer version of a margarita, if anybody's interested. Speaking of which,
it is good.
So I know in Virginia.
Yeah.
Because you've been talking about how you've been able to just like go pick up margaritas from Michigan has never allowed that. Like if you wanted a margarita at a restaurant, you had to go to that restaurant. You couldn't get it to go. Like that wasn't a thing until the governor Whitmer just signed and it just started up where you could get to go or delivery alcohol legally now. So I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know what we're gonna order, but I feel like you need to support this decision. There's some restaurants that have some really good like mixed cocktails and stuff like that. I'm like, that'd be great if I could pick that shit up and bring it home.
Yeah, they put it in a big old, like the margaritas, they put it in the big styrofoam cups, and I get the ones on the rocks. I don't like the frozen ones.
Well,
I get those, they put them in the, so at least you get home. And we did that, and we went and said, and I think we talked about it, but I went and said, "Oh, that's all you're ordering. You're just ordering a whole fleet with all the margaritas. Yeah, that's all you want. We've already eaten dinner. We just want the drinks."
Yeah. So like, there's some weird rules with Michigan though. Like, it has to be in like a sealed container. It has to be labeled like not for consumption under 21. There's like some other weird stuff, but I don't give a shit.
No, just drink it.
Yeah. So I don't. Is this one of those weeks where you have to tell me whether I'm reading this one or you are reading the story?
No, there's no Easter eggs in this. While you were gone to the bathroom, I was reading about iOS 14 again. And I think I'm close to putting it on here, but I just haven't done it yet.
I put it on the iPad. The only thing with the iPad is like the big feature that I'm excited about with iOS 14, not to get too nerdy here, but is the app library.
Yeah,
it automatically is, because one of the things is like I never know how to, because I have so many apps, I never know exactly how to
folders.
So, yeah, to like how to organize them, like for to, and so, but I do it. But then, like, another thing is, like, if something ever goes on with my phone and I have to, like, reinstall iOS, one of the reasons I never do a clean install is because, like, I don't feel like having to put all the apps back in folders again. So if it does it for me, that's great. And if there's some widgets I can throw on the screen that are useful, that's kind of cool, too. Yeah.
Stocks for you, man.
I'm telling you. So, you know, well, I might.
NASDAQ.
I might do it. That. Honestly, having market tickers right on my home screen without having to to scroll over to the widget section, which I think is just like a clusterfuck, is pretty cool. So we'll see how it you do it first. Let me know how it is, and then I'll decide if I'm going to do it or not. I'm sure there's another version of the beta that's coming out next week, probably.
Next week. But that's what I was waiting for.
But sometimes it just makes things worse, though. That's the thing. These early betas, like, sometimes it will, sometimes they, like, almost purposely break shit for, like, you know, it'll be great 1 week, and then the next beta will suck ass. So, I don't know. We'll see, but I put on the iPad and it's cool, but all like the features that I'm interested in an iPhone this year. But anyway, which also, by the way, a buddy of mine who does listen to the show, who listens to the show, is he's an Android guy. He got the
Dave Penn.
Yeah, but you know what though? He got the S20 Plus or whatever, the Galaxy S20 Plus. And the zoom on the camera is ridiculous. Like, they were over, and he's like, and the moon was up in the sky. He's like, hey, watch this. And I mean, he could take a picture of the moon, and it would take up the whole screen. You could see all the details where, like, on my phone, my, $18 million 12 Pro Max, 11 Pro Max. The 12 isn't out yet. iPhone 11 Max, Pro Max. I could barely even get, like, it was just basically a dot on the screen. So it was really impressive. So I'm hoping that Apple comes out with some nice, a better zoom on the camera this year. But anyway, all that aside,
I'm gonna look up what their zoom is and I'm gonna tell you, because I'm gonna tell you
it was
S20 or S20 Ultra, or does it matter?
Ultra.
Okay, let's see. You just wanted to say Ultra because sounds better. I'm gonna look it up.
He's a guy, he likes nice things.
It does say 100x, but that's usually the digital zoom, which you can get just by cropping the damn thing.
Yeah, but
100x, but it's the optical zoom, that's what you want to have.
It was very impressive. It was something that is way better than what the iPhone offers.
This says when you get past, it's got a 30x space zoom, and the Ultra is 100x. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of it's cropping. It's just doing it on the screen for you. But it's how much if you do that on the iPhone, it pixelates, and that's a typical digital thing.
Even if it's computational photography, I will tell you. I mean, I was really, really impressed at how far it could zoom in. Like, he was even zooming in down the street. I'm like, that's really impressive. So
yeah, Dave's a creeper.
It does have 120 hertz refresh too, which
that's the good part.
Smoother scrolling. I'm all about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
let's scroll.
What's going on? People are, at this point, like, probably half the people listening to this podcast have turned it off because
they're used to this, Rob. They're used to no order
nerdy tangents
whatsoever.
They're like, well, at least they didn't talk about COVID for a half hour of this episode, so that's good. Anyway,
well, let's hear about our first. Whoa, what is that? Oh, never mind.
We're going to one of my girlfriends.
This is Wilkes-Barre, Rob, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Wilkes-Barre, not Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
You know. Yeah.
Where a pantsless woman was charged after a disturbance.
Yeah, disturbance in my pants.
She's not disturbing my pants, that's for sure.
No.
A city police arrested a woman who they allege caused a disturbance at a McDonald's restaurant. McDonald's is like the Walmart of fast food, isn't it? There was an article that I read this last week that said throughout the nation, in certain Walmarts, they were turning the parking lots into drive-through movie theaters. Have you heard about this?
I heard. I don't think it was Walmart, but I.
Yeah. Why in God's name would you go to a Walmart to watch a movie? I'm just saying that's going to be a hot fucking mess. Am I right? Like,
yeah,
a Walmart parking lot. Yeah. I've been to Walmart parking lots. I don't want to watch movies with these people.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so this bitch was at a McDonald's.
Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre.
Right. Spelled funny.
She removed her pants. She disrobed the lower half of her body.
Yeah.
And she ran into
sweaty
residence stealing a hairbrush Sunday night.
What was she going to do with it, Rob?
She was in a McDonald's. Wait. She was in a McDonald's. She removed her pants, and she ran into a residence. So she ran. She removed her pants at McDonald's and ran out of the building to somebody's home and stole a hairbrush. Okay, good.
Right.
I just want to make sure I understand what's going on here, because that's a loaded fucking sentence right there.
Right. She might have had some lice down there, Rob.
Police arrested Stephanie Montalbano, 31, going on 50.
God damn it!
Photo I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, as she ran across South Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre, Rob. I've said it several times.
Wilkes-Barre Boulevard. I've been to Pennsylvania once. I've never lived there.
Somebody from Wilkes-Barre is going to call in and tell me that I was saying it wrong.
I don't care.
99.9% it's Wilkes-Barre.
Just before midnight.
Oh, boy.
When she was handcuffed. Montalbano kept asking officers to call police. She's being handcuffed by the police, asking the officers to call the police. According to the criminal complaint,
she's confused. She hadn't had enough to drink.
Montalbano. Police responded to a McDonald's on East Northampton Street, where Montalbano caused a disturbance at about 11:33 p.m. A restaurant manager told police he was filling a cup with water when he was approached by Montalbano, who said, "Give me that." The manager gave the cup of water to Montalbano, who then ran behind the counter to the kitchen area yelling for help. Montalbano picked up picked up a metal pole she used to push down garbage in trash cans. It struck the manager in the lower legs, the complaint says. Montalbano spilled the water on the floor, causing her hair to fall. Oh, this is fucking great. You really are on top of the drops this week. Police said Montalbano ran from the police from the restaurant toward Boulevard Townhomes in South Wilkes-Barre.
Barry.
Shame.
I got a half right.
That's close.
Oh, man. Officer,
doesn't really matter, I guess.
Officer went to the apartment complex and spotted a pantsless pantsless Montalbano holding a hairbrush and banging on a door, repeatedly yelling, "Help me!
It's a tauntaun!
Help me!" The complaint says.
What's that?
Montalbano approached the officer saying, "They are after me," when she was advised. Oh, man. She was speaking with an officer. Montalbano ran across Wilkes-Barre Boulevard, where she was arrested by other officers. They had the whole department working on this at this point.
Yeah.
Police said
because she didn't have pants.
Yeah, because it was pantsless.
Right.
She assaulted a McDonald's employee and stole a hairbrush.
Trash bar.
Police said Montalbano ran into traffic, causing motorists to suddenly stop. Montalbano was visibly intoxicated and did not seem to have a grasp of reality. She continued to ask officers to call police, the complaint says. As officers remained at the scene, they were approached by Fernando God, Freire Munoz.
God damn it.
Who claimed a woman banged and opened his apartment door, stealing a hairbrush from a table.
Now they don't know where it is.
Monty Albano was arraigned, as she should have been, on Monday by District Judge Brian Tupper in Luzerne County Central Court on charges of burglary, simple assault, defiant trespass, disorderly conduct, public drunkenness, and harassment. She was jailed at the county correctional facility for lack of $25,000 bail. It's crazy that she didn't have $25,000 immediately at her disposal to post her bail.
Well, she did, Rob, but it was in her pants, but she took those off at the McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So had she kept her pants on, she would have been able to post bail and go home.
She probably had at least that much in cash on her person.
Right. Well, then she would have been able to buy the own hairbrush instead of having to steal it.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Thank you for shedding light on this story.
Well, we're bald, Rob. We don't think much about the hairbrush.
No. See, hair is not my department. I always.
It's mine now because I can't cut it because I smashed my head on the refrigerator.
We just got to cut around it. I don't know why you got to be such a puss about it. Just go ahead and just, you know, do what I do when the kids get boo-boos and then they want to go in the bathtub, you know, because it stinks for a minute. Yeah. I'm on the fly once. I made up a thing. I said, just sing happy birthday.
Yeah.
Put it in the water, sing happy birthday, and then it'll stop stinging. So they do that all the time now. If they have like a cut or something or on their knee, they put it in the water, they sing happy birthday, and they're like, wow, Dad, you're right. It doesn't hurt anymore. Like, see? I know what I'm doing.
Well, mine's a big old scab up there, so I'm afraid I'd hit it with the clippers.
Maybe just
that would suck.
Shave all around it, but just keep that area.
It's practically bald on that spot. I was going to say,
it's not like you got a ton of hair there you got to worry about. I'm just throwing that out there.
I put a piece of tape and just rip the hair out on top of it.
What the fuck is this?
Well, this one's good, Rob. I like this one. This takes us to our friends at News Channel something in Nebraska.
Yeah, it's NCN Nebraska.
He's cute. Yeah, he's cute. Polk County Sheriff.
He's cute.
Looking for a man.
He's a cutie pie.
Oh, man. Photographed wearing a utility belt, bra, and,
it's got a
and carrying
on.
A long knife.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, so he's going. He's the meter reader, Rob, but he's naked except for his utility belt and his bra.
That's all you need to read meters.
Okay, authorities searching for a man.
That's a work costume. Caught right there.
camera wearing peculiar clothes and trespassing.
That's amazing.
And I'll definitely be
adding like a picture of this. He's got like a headband on too.
He's got he's like Rambo. Fucking with a bra, no pants.
He's Rambo. He's a Rambo wearing a brassiere and a utility belt, carrying a machete of some sort, checking the meters.
He's got a Batman belt and he's got no pants. But we got water shoes on.
Yeah, I was going to say he's wearing shoes. You know, you don't want to get splinters in your tootsies.
Polk County, Nebraska.
Polk County.
Alexa, where is Polk County, Nebraska?
Polk County is located in Nebraska in the United States.
It's in Nebraska, Robert.
What? It's in Nebraska, what, you idiot.
The fuck else do you want to know?
Shut the fuck up, Robert.
Polk County authorities are searching for a man caught on camera wearing peculiar clothes and trespassing. The images were captured Saturday by Chad Hoffman's trail cam.
Oh, man.
On land he rents near Polk.
That's amazing.
Which is, if Alexa had been able to just tell us this, we would be fine, which is about 20 miles northwest of York.
It's better than Siri. Siri would be like, I don't know. I searched Google and found some websites.
That's right. Here, read this for more information. I'm not going
to
tell you.
Because I wanted to read a fucking Wikipedia article. That's why I asked you. Sorry, go ahead.
The photos show a man wearing a utility belt, a bra, and not much else.
Oh, this is a video.
A long knife appears to be hanging from that belt. I did a double take and didn't quite believe what I saw on that picture, Hoffman said. Something out of the ordinary, obviously. The camera picked up more shots of the mystery man. I think I said shots of the mystery man. Early Sunday morning, he was seen wearing slightly different clothes and riding off on an ATV. Hoffman said he's missing a deer stand that was still in the box and was stored on the property. Don't know where he would have put it. He thinks that's what's on the back of the ATV in one of the photos. Everybody is kind of on edge around here, Hoffman said, especially going down there. We have crops to take care of, and there's some cattle there, so we shouldn't have to keep our heads on a swivel. Hoffman sent the photos to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Dwayne Ladwig said he considers the man a possible threat and that the situation is very concerning. He says deputies checked on an abandoned house in the area on Tuesday, but didn't find any sign of the man. People are asked to call 911 if they see him. I'm going to save his picture here and put it in the show notes.
You should.
It's worth it, Rob.
Yeah, he made it. He's arrived. He's in the two fucking Bob's show art. So, you know, good for him.
Yep.
I got to open up the next article here for crazy news.
That's pretty.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Pennsylvania man. Oh, we're back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, not Wilkes-Barre this time.
Wilkes-Barre. Pennsylvania, I don't understand, because there's a headline, but then there's another headline further down. Okay, I'm just going to start reading.
Yeah, start with the part above the bush picture.
Just directly above it?
Yeah, that would be the that would be the proper. There are like three headlines on here.
I don't understand how to read this.
It above the bush beer picture.
Okay,
I think that's the true headline. Right. Good.
We're gonna do that. So this is gonna take us back to Pennsylvania, where a man was busted with empty bush cans, drugs, porno DVDs, and a dildo. Idiot. Finnegan, come here. Come here, Finn.
What's the problem?
You all right?
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
Hey, I'm right here. Come over here. Quit fucking around. Okay, good boy. Lay down.
Okay. Pennsylvania State Police with the Gibson Patrol Unit recently responded to an indecent exposure incident reported in Halstead, Pennsylvania. When they arrived on the scene at Pine Street and Elizabeth Avenue, they encountered 36-year-old Richard Chapman, Halstead resident. Chapman, police say, was visibly smashed.
Oh, yeah.
When they got to him. A quick search of his person revealed Chapman was carrying some drugs, some drug paraphernalia, and a few other items of note. Now, mind you, this was just after 6 a.m. on June 3rd, crack of dawn on a Wednesday. So in addition to the incriminating narcotics evidence police say they found on Chapman, he was also in possession of the following. 3 empty cans of Busch beer, multiple pornographic DVDs, and what police refer to as a male genitalia-shaped sexual aid device. You probably know it better as a dildo. Man, if getting busted for indecent exposure isn't bad enough, imagine Chapman's embarrassment when people find out he was drinking Bush, right? I know, that's the worst part of all this. Obviously, we didn't expect Pennsylvania State Police to use the word dildo in its official reporting. We're just wondering how long it took investigating. This is a great this is a phenomenally written article. It took investigating officer Daniel Delio to come up with this exact phrasing for the dildo, male genitalia shaped sexual aid device.
That's pretty good.
We bet the crew up there at Gibson Patrol Station had a good time coming up with almost scientific phrasing for the dildo to be included in this report. This had to be an all day affair. It probably took Delio a little while to summon the courage to pick up the male genitalia-shaped sexual aid device and place it into an evidence bag. He He didn't know where it'd been. Surely he had his suspicions. And then, exactly, then he came, then came the paperwork.
Oh, no.
Who wrote
Did he smell
this?
It?
Oh, to be a fly in the wall when the presiding judge in this case initially reads the file to Chapman. We can only imagine what led up to police discovering Chapman in this condition. Presumably, the last thing we want to know is why Chapman heads for the mountains of Busch Beer. Secondly, what's up with the DVDs? Who carries them around with them? He's heard of the internet, right? At least the police didn't divulge the nature of their content. I want to know what kind of porn it was.
Inquiring minds.
And then there's a sexual aid device. What's up with, you know what? Never mind. We forget we even tried to ask. We'll keep an eye on this case in the future to see if Chapman can get off on the charges. Why does this sound like it was like a Trump speech?
Ta-da.
Maybe he can argue that he doesn't even own a DVD player. Put it in his PlayStation, maybe. And someone planted...
Failing pile of garbage.
Someone planted those discs on him. And as far as the dildo goes, it could be Brady's. Whenever we hear something crazy happening involving the police and some messed up criminal incident, you always hear some remark, only a shillelagh. Is that really shillelagh? I have a shillelagh. I don't know where it is. I'll have to bring it out eventually. Only in Schuylkill County.
I think it's Schuylkill.
That's what
Alexa, where is Schuylkill County?
That's what I just said. I said Schuylkill.
Here's something I found on the web. According to Wikipedia.org, the Chill left Columbus in 1999 and relocated to Reading, Pennsylvania, with the impending arrival of the Columbus Blue Jackets in the National Hockey League.
The fuck does... What do the Blue Jackets have to do with this? Oh, well, there's proof that that's not always true. And here's the original police report to prove that we're not making this up. You literally can't make this stuff up. There it is. This is great. This was a great article. Thanks.
I tried to Google him, but it...
Show you a little kill. Where's my family? They haven't been...
Decided to just stay.
Let me ice stalk Kelly real quick. She's still there. Oh man, she's still there. They're having a good time.
Good time.
Although I did, she texted me a little while ago. She said podcasting, and that was at 7:43. I said just starting. Technical difficulties.
She didn't know of all the start and stops we had.
All right. So this is a good one because normally.
Yeah.
When you have somebody who is wearing, like, you know, who's scantily clad in our news stories, you don't actually want to see photos, but I'd be all right with seeing these ones.
This one takes us to
Florida.
Florida. Well, that's probably part of it. Move over, Sarah. See, right? This woman arrested in just a bra is your new gangsta boo. And we'll pretend that we didn't see the stories from 2016. A Florida woman was recently joined.
Recently joined. 4 years old. Oh, recently.
So she doesn't look like this anymore.
It's amazing.
Joined the infamous list of prison. And I don't know how to say this. Is it Bay?
Bay.
B-A-E?
Prison Bays.
Okay. People say that, or is this 2016 too?
Yeah, they haven't said it in approximately 4 years.
Her semi-nude arrest became a viral sensation.
We were worried that we had made the show lineup 2 weeks ago. And this story is from 2016. Where were you in 2016? I don't even remember. I lived in a different house when this happened.
A 25-year-old Brianda Mayeli Ramirez.
Oh, that's good. This story was written before we even started the podcast.
Yep.
We're at 100 and we only record once a month and we're at 132.
Well, we're off that once a month. That just happened. So arrested last week after she intentionally crashed her car into the truck of her ex-boyfriend.
Last week.
Gabriel Sandoval, Ramirez's former lover, told authorities she was just upset after he said he wanted to end their relationship of 1 year.
Why?
However, Ramirez went on to tell authorities that the two had just finished having sex.
Nice.
They tried to dump her and leave her alone at her house. So she threw on a bra and only a bra and followed him in her car. Oh, boy.
It's his fault.
After she hit Sandoval's truck with her car, it flipped over onto its roof with him still in it. She then drove off and left the scene of the accident. Ramirez was later found by police and was arrested, still only wearing the bra.
Oh, nice.
She was taken into the police station and photographed for police records. Now that her mugshots have been made public, one can only assume that she knocked Sarah Seawright off the top spot for Prison Bay. And I'm going to, I think this has a link to open a new tab. If you don't remember, Seawright was arrested in Arkansas for failing to appear in court, and her mugshot quickly broke the internet. There's a new Prison Bay in town, and she goes by the name of Brianna Ramirez. However, neither Ramirez or Seawright will ever topple the original gangster of hot convicts, Jeremy Meeks. And I remember him with the tattoo on his face, I'm pretty sure. Meeks, whose original mugshot gained the attention of everyone, including modeling agencies, has now been released and already landing gigs in L.A. Who knows? After Ramirez and Seawright sort out their legal matters, they could have a future in front of the camera, too. Although not like you might think.
I'm Google image searching here.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have the tattoo on his face. He had tattoos on his neck, but he had the little teardrop.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And I see this other one here. Seawright.
Oh, man. Look at that guy. What's wrong with his eyes? He has Max Scherzer eyes.
All right. Well, let's see here.
Did you finish the article?
I think that's... Oh, no, God. I don't want updates.
She's doing all right. I hope she's okay now, 4 years later. Oh, boy. Where's our last story going to bring us?
I think the last one.
Minneapolis. A lot going on in Minneapolis. We gotta finish this up so I can watch Hamilton on Disney Plus.
That's what they're doing upstairs. I can hear the speakers screaming at it.
Nice. It's great. I can watch it without paying $1,000 a ticket. I mean, very exciting. All right, so it's gonna bring us to Minneapolis, where a trio of rioters arrested for breaking into a sperm bank and stealing hundreds of samples. Three Minneapolis residents have been arrested for breaking into a sperm bank during the riots that occurred last Saturday, reported Minneapolis police. Latifah White, 29, Ivory Pepper, 31, and Ive Peach, 28. Why they like White Pepper and Peach? They couldn't have come up with some other fake names that were a little bit better. This is from our friends at World News Daily Report, so take from that.
Right, these are real names.
Take from that what you'd like.
Don't ruin this for me.
No, this is, you know, clearly this is all real stuff here. We're arrested yesterday after video surveillance cameras caught images of the three suspects breaking into the local fertility clinic. It is believed that the three suspects were intoxicated, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
I know.
I thought they were milkshakes.
They were trying to drink moderately so that we could keep their cognitive abilities. And under the influence of alcohol and crystal meth, why is that like an afterthought? There was alcohol. There may have also been crystal meth. And may have fled the crime scene with hundreds of samples, according to authorities. Surveillance cameras captured images of the three suspects filling grocery bags with specimens of some sperm.
To consume later, Rob.
No. Even
they weren't going to drink them right now.
Tasting several samples. Officer Darnell Williams of the Minneapolis Police Department told her.
Too salty.
I've seen the footage. I don't know what drugs they were on, but you can see them rubbing sperm off. You can see them rubbing sperm all over their faces and genitals.
Be quiet.
All over their faces and genitals. Drinking the stuff like it's Kool-Aid. Said Alan Keyes, co-owner of the Minneapolis Cryobank. Lewis Thompson, the attorney representing the three women, told reporters that his clients were upset with the climate of racism in America and did this to honor the memory of George Floyd. This is an act of rage and activism fueled by desperation due to the political violence brought on by onto the African-American population in America, explained attorney Lewis Thompson. Legal experts believe that the three suspects could face charges of third-degree burglary as well as first-degree murder for destroying hundreds of specimens of living sperm. You can't... Killing sperm isn't a crime. Right? Like... And each could face up to... Each could face... Could face... Could face up to... Could face up...
It's a long time.
Could face... Up to 1,037 years in jail. That's a lot of jail time. That's a very large amount of jail time. Oh, boy.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man. Did you see this article about a 17-year-old teenager? He sues his parents for being born white.
Oh, man. This one in here is pretty good. I'm going to save that for next week.
Kentucky? Is it this one?
Detroit.
Oh, police shoot white coal miner 5 times thinking he was black. That's so bad. That's so bad.
Well, the World News Daily Report likes to stretch the limit a little bit.
Why am I getting so many text messages?
Well, it's not from our...
Oh, my brother-in-law will send his pregnant, 8-month pregnant wife to come get me.
Oh. She really wants you there, Rob.
I'm going to say, nah.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't like that guy.
Come over. We have a fire going. I want to eat dinner and watch Hamilton. I'm staying home and ordering DoorDash
nuggets.
He says lame. Fuck off.
What's there he goes.
The problem with the dog.
He's like, gotta go outside.
He's fruiting out. He probably does have to pee. You outside, Finn? Eh? Outside? He's looking at me like, fuck yeah, I gotta go outside. Let me out.
I'm about to shit in here. You gotta go.
I'm sorry. It's gonna be a minute. I gotta do the recap. Man. Good boy. Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's do
As always.
The recap.
Oh, we never said goodbye. All right, we'll see you next week, next month. We don't know when, but it'll be sometime. Yeah,
probably next. We'll try again.
We'll try again. I think things have smoothed out for all parties involved.
So I think
we'll try to get it next week.
Things are really looking up. We might just do 2 weeks in a row. You never know. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own, not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.